Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Colossians 4, as we're going to look out of Colossians 4 this morning. I'm excited. I think I'm more excited about this series than I've been about any other series in a while. But this morning we're kicking off a new six-week series that will actually take us all the way up to Easter. Can you believe? 7 Sundays away from Easter. So March 31st is Easter. This will take us up right to the week before Easter. And the title of this series is this. Are you ready for it? Are you ready? Here it is. It's Warning. Do try this at home. Okay? Warning, do try this at home. We've seen the warnings out there, right? Warning, don't try this at home. You know, whether it's before a YouTube video or a TV show, or maybe you're at a live show where they say, warning, do not try this at home. And they tell you, you know, these are trained professionals here, all right? So don't be trying this at home, kids, you know, that whole thing. Don't try this at home. But today we're going to talk about things that we do need to be doing at home. Here's the thing. I think they tell you not to do this at home because of how dangerous it can be, right? And I think that if we aren't doing this at home, it's dangerous for our spiritual life. And so we need to be doing this at home. Over the next 6 weeks, we're going to be looking at things that many people do on Sundays. We do them at church, but then we don't do it the rest of the week. We don't do it anywhere else. We don't do it at home. We don't do it anywhere. And things that I believe are vital to our walk with the Lord and our ability to grow in Him, our ability to follow Him. Because you've heard me say it. I mean, I don't know how many times I already said it this morning in worship. You've heard me say it hundreds of times in this past year, that we are called to follow Jesus. We're called to follow Him. And so this week, we tackle the first thing that we should be doing at home, and that is prayer. We should be doing this at home. The question we have to ask ourselves is, are we people who pray? Do we? Do we pray other than here at church? And I'm not just talking about around the dinner table, right? But are we people who pray the way God desires us to pray? Maybe the question is, what is it that God desires of us when it comes to prayer? Well, if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me as we're going to look at a scripture here that tells us God's desire for us and for prayer. Colossians 4, verses 2 through 4 is our scripture this morning. It says this: devote yourselves to prayer. Lays it out right there, first sentence, right? Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. And this is Paul speaking here. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Right off the bat here, it tells us, Paul tells us, to devote ourselves to prayer. Throughout the New Testament, we see this word, devote, used 6 times in reference to prayer. Be devoted to prayer. Devote yourself to prayer. 6 different scriptures throughout the New Testament tell us this, to devote ourselves to prayer. And in Colossians here, the Greek word that's used here for prayer is proskatereo. I actually said that right. I was practicing it. It came out right. Which means this, to be constantly attentive to something, or to give great care to something. And if you think about how we use it in today's language, right? When we say we're devoted to something, it means that we give great effort or time to something, right? So this should tell us right away that if we're supposed to be devoted to prayer, if we're supposed to give great effort or time to prayer, then it shouldn't be something that we just do once a week, right? At church or on occasion, or that we're all guilty of this when we need something, right? When things are going bad. No, prayer should be an everyday part of our lives. We should be doing this at home. We should be trying this at home. It should be an everyday part of our lives. And I think the question that we have to ask ourselves is, are we devoted to prayer? Think about that for a moment, and this is a challenging thing because I did this week already. If we step back and took a close look at our lives, how we live them, what we do, could we honestly say that our lives are devoted to prayer? Now here's the thing. Being devoted to prayer doesn't mean that that's all we do, okay? You know, I remember you hear these scriptures as you're young, you know, be devoted to prayer, pray without ceasing. You remember, you know, hear these scriptures when you're young, and I'm thinking, man, I could never do that. You know, you had this picture of someone getting up out of bed, kneeling down beside their bed and spending the whole day praying, right? That's not what being devoted to prayer is. It doesn't mean that that's all we do, that we get up, kneel down beside our bed, and we just do nothing but pray all day. That's not what it means by being devoted to prayer. I think the great example that I would use is this, is I'm devoted to my wife, okay? And I hope all the husbands in this room could say that they're devoted to their wife, okay? I'm devoted to my wife, and what does that mean? When I say I'm devoted to my wife, what does that mean to me? It means, well, I love her, right? It means I do my best to show that love to her, okay? It means that, doesn't mean I just hold her hand and go everywhere she goes, right? No. I have to go to work. I have to leave. We have to separate from each other. And as we do, our hands are being pulled, and I'm crying as I head out the door. No, honey, I love you. No, right? Yes, exactly. No, that's not what it looks like. Yeah, she's clapping as I go out the door. Yes, just leave, go. But that's not what it means. No, it means, though, that even though I do leave, that I do think about her throughout the day. And even sometimes, believe it or not, in my free time, I might shoot her a little text just saying, hey, honey, I love you, miss you, whatever, right? Oh, yes. All right. Or I, you know, call her sometimes, shoot her an email, you know. She's not in here, so, all right, she's not going to hear this. But it means that I will do special things for her because I'm devoted to her. It means that when I make decisions, that my decisions aren't just based upon me, but they're based upon us because I love her and care for her, right? It means she's a high priority in my life. And Paul is telling us here in Colossians 2, prayer should be a high priority in your life. And here's the thing. I think most of us realize that. Most of us understand that. The problem is there's always things that seem to get in the way, right? Why aren't we devoted to prayer in the way that we should be? What's getting in the way? Well, I Googled that question. I Googled this question. I put this on Google. Why don't we pray? Send. Or excuses for not praying. And I got all sorts of responses through Google. All sorts of lists and reasons of why we don't pray. Or why people claim they don't pray. And the interesting thing is all the different lists, all the different things, throughout all of them, there seem to be four that kind of continued to rise to the surface. That whether they were at the top of many of the lists or they were the ones that you could find on just about every single list. There seemed to be four. And so this morning I want to take a few moments and walk through these four excuses of why we fail to pray. Because I imagine that some of them might be the same reasons of why we don't pray. Why we fail to devote ourselves to prayer. And so, here we go. The top one on the list, probably the biggest answer, the biggest excuse of all. Number one, we don't know how to pray. right? I don't know how. I don't know how to pray. And I imagine many of us may feel this way, especially if you're new in your relationship with the Lord, because it's kind of weird, right? It feels a little awkward at times, like, is there really somebody there? Or am I just talking to myself, right? We may feel that way. And it's just that thought, I just don't know. I don't know how to do it. But here's the thing. If you know how to have a conversation with someone, anyone, if you just know how to have a conversation, to talk and to speak with someone, then the reality is you know how to pray. Because that's all prayer is. Prayer is simply just talking with God. And I think we overcomplicate it. We think it has to be this or that. It's just talking with Him. It's communicating with Him. It's saying, man, God, I don't know what to do here. Can you help me? Saying, hey, God, I love you and I need your help throughout this day. It's just saying and being willing to talk to Him. You know, all through the Bible, we see God's people praying. And when you look all throughout the Bible, you just see they're just talking and communicating with the God, or crying out, you know, in Psalms a lot with David, crying out to the Lord. But it's just speaking with the Lord. And so because of this, I would encourage you, take a look at how people pray in the Bible. Look at the Scriptures. It's very simple. They just are talking with the Lord. Look at how Jesus Himself prayed. If you look, Jesus was regularly praying. He was regularly going and just spending time with the Father. And it's a matter of just taking time to talk and to communicate with Him. And in Matthew 6, He actually gives us an example of how to pray. The disciples say, teach us how to pray. And Jesus gives an example. Matthew 6, 9 through 13, it's the Lord's Prayer, our Father, right? In heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And this isn't like we have to quote that word for word. It's an example of how we can pray the Lord. Some important things is that we got to realize who we're praying to, right? We address it. Heavenly Father. Some people, Daddy, you know, God, whatever. It's realizing who you're addressed to. And then it's just a conversation with Him, right? When you look at this, you can break it down. It's saying, Lord, a lot of times I try to do things my way, but help me to do things your way, right? And then it talks about the forgiveness. You know, Lord, I failed yesterday. Thank you for your grace. Please forgive me. And Lord, and I've had other people hurt me. Help me to forgive them the way you forgive me, right? Or, Lord, I know today I'm going to face temptations. Help me be strong. It's just communicating with the Lord, telling Him what you need, talking through. The Lord gives us a great example of that in Matthew 6. And like I said earlier, so often we overcomplicate prayer. And it's just a matter of us really taking the time, right, to be with the Lord. Because that's really the issue. It's taking the time to just be with Him, to just talk with Him. We overcomplicate. We think that, well, I gotta have a prayer closet, or I gotta kneel beside my bed. I gotta clasp my hands the right way. Wait, do we do it this way or do I do it this way? I don't want to get it wrong, right? Or we gotta bow our heads. I don't see anywhere in the Scriptures where it says that's how you have to pray. It's just talking with the Lord. We can open our eyes. We can look up to Him. It's just communicating with the Lord. And here's the thing, like anything else, the more we just do it, the better we get at it. The more we do it, the easier it gets. So if you are the one that would use this as an excuse, I encourage you to just do it. Because like anything, if you want to learn something, you got to just start to do it, right? You're not going to sit there and go, man, I wish I could learn how to play that guitar. Man, I wish I could. No, how are you going to learn to play the guitar? You're going to pick it up and you're going to start to have someone show you, okay, what do I do? And you begin to learn. And the Bible shows us, it's a great example, and as you begin to just practice it, as you begin to do it, it will come easier and natural to you. I encourage you, just do it. Take time to just talk to God and devote yourself to prayer. And here's the thing, I believe if you do that, if you devote yourself to take time to pray and to be quiet before the Lord, I'm pretty sure He's going to talk to you. And it may not be this audible voice. All right, I've been a Christian, I'm 41, I've been a Christian since I was 5 years old. Okay, 36 years, I've never heard an audible voice. I haven't. But the Lord still speaks to me in that still small voice. You hear me all the time say things in my messages. Well, God said this to me and I'll speak something. I didn't hear this voice, Darren, do this. I didn't. It was just that still small voice inside me that it just was impressed upon my heart. And I was like, I wouldn't have come up with that on my own. That must be God, right? And more we do it, the more and more we'll understand and know how to do it. We can't allow the fact that we don't know how to do something be an excuse for not praying. The next excuse, the second most popular one that I found on the list, was this: we're too busy. And I know we've all used that excuse. We all fall into that trap. We're too busy. Now, many of you may know the name Bill Hybels. He's the pastor of Willow Creek Church in Chicago. Amazing man of God, has grown this church and just an amazing man of God, well-known author. He wrote a book several years ago titled this, Too Busy Not to Pray. We're too busy not to pray. And I would recommend reading this book. If you've never read this book and you want to learn more about prayer, Too Busy Not to Pray by Bill Hybels. It's a great book. But here's the thing, that title, it's so true. We're too busy not to pray. You see, we live in a time and an age where it's go, 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 right? We're always on the go. It just seems like it's never stopped, whether it's work, whether it's sports, whether it's this, whether it's that. It's go, go, go. And here's the thing. Because of the society that we live in and the fast pace, more and more people are getting burnt out, right? More and more families are falling apart. The stresses of life and the pace of our world is taking a toll on many of us. I think a lot of people are becoming like the parable of the seed in Luke 8 where he says they're being choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. That's a lot of us because of this craziness of life that we're in, which is why more than ever we need to slow down and pray. The problem is we get worried and we think that, well, if I take time to pray, I'm just going to get more behind, I'm just going to get more bogged down, which creates just more worry and more fear in our lives, right? Which is why we really should at that time open up our Bibles to Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Let me read Philippians 4, 6 and 7 to you. This is out of the New Living Translation. I like the way it's worded. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, what does it say? Pray about everything. Don't worry about anything, but instead pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. And that thanks is important, all right? The women walking through their group, there's a big aspect of that and what they've been doing in the women's connection of learning to be thankful. But pray about everything. Tell Him what you need. Thank Him for all He has done. Why? Why is it so important, especially in the midst of the busy life we live in? Because verse 7 tells us, because it says, then you will experience God's peace. Doesn't that sound good? In the world we live in today, doesn't peace sound like an amazing thing? Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. I remember as a kid, the way I learned it, the scripture was a peace that passes all understanding. We can't even understand how in the midst we can experience this peace. And it says, His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Like the scripture in Psalms we talked about, in Him, allowing Him to guard us and be our peace. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. You see, we get so busy. We get so stressed out. And what we really need to do is stop and pray. The fact is, life is hard. Life is challenging. Life can get busy. But the answer to making it through it is Jesus. And how do we connect with Jesus? Through prayer. We can't make this as an excuse. We have to take time to pray. We're too busy not to pray. The third excuse that I saw as I Googled this question is this is why they don't pray is because we're ashamed or feel too sinful to pray. And I know that is probably an answer for many people. But here's the thing, that is exactly what the enemy wants you to believe. That's a tool of the enemy that he's been using for a long time to make you think, man, you're too sinful. You should be ashamed. How could you go before God? How could you face Him with what you've done? It's that lie that He tells you to keep you from going to Him, to keep you from seeking Him. But here's the thing. If that's the case, if you have failed, if there is sin, if there's things in your life, then you need to go before God. I want to share with you a scripture out of Luke 18. Luke 18, 10 through 14, it's a story that Jesus told. Some of you may recognize it. It says this, Jesus says, two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the religious leaders, right? One of the religious leaders of that time. And the other a tax collector. And in one of the translations, it actually says a despised tax collector. It says this, the Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, right? Very proudful. God, I thank you that I am not like the other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. Can you imagine, right? He says, I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I get. Yay, right? That's the praise he's going to get, the praise of himself. But then it says the tax collector prayed. It says, but the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but instead he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus says, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. As sinners, as failures, we can't afford not to pray, right? And we can't fall into the trap of the enemy that causes our failures and shame to keep us from coming to the Lord. This was me. I shared last week my struggles with pornography when I was in the military. That was me, and the shame and the feeling of my sinful nature kept me for the longest time from coming to the Lord. But let me tell you, when I finally came, and when I finally opened up my heart, can I tell you how wonderful it felt? How amazing it was? If we've sinned, the truth is, we should not be running from Jesus. We should be running to Him. Because it's through Him, it's through prayer that we can experience God's grace and forgiveness in our life. It's through prayer that we experience His righteousness. 1 John 1:9, I shared it last week. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How do we confess our sins? Through prayer. Through talking with the Lord. Through telling Him we failed. You see, last week I told you that I believe God cares more about how we deal with the sin in our life than He does about the sin itself. And the key there is He wants us to give it to Him. He wants us to deal with it and to bring it to Him. Sin shouldn't be an excuse for not praying. As a matter of fact, it should be an excuse for us to pray. When we've sinned, we should say, you know what? I need to go pray. It should be an excuse to pray. And it's simple. It's talking before the Lord. It's just saying, Lord, I failed. I need you. to cover my sins. Forgive me of my sins. We can't allow our sins and failures to be an excuse of why we don't pray. And the last excuse that I found that most people use of why they don't pray is this, is that they say it doesn't seem to work, or he never answers my prayers. And the truth is, and this may sound a little harsh, but this excuse shows a lack of maturity in our walk with the Lord. In Bill Hybels' book, Too Busy Not to Pray, he talks about the struggle of unanswered prayer. And he says this, he says, if the request is wrong, God says no. Right? Meaning if we're asking for something that's not the right thing, it's the wrong request, it's maybe selfish or it's something for us and not in line with the will of the Lord. If the request is wrong, God says no. If the timing is wrong, God says slow. Meaning that, you know, sometimes maybe it's okay, yeah, it's an okay request, but you got to be patient. You got to trust in me and you got to trust in my timing. And he just says slow. He says, wait, just wait. It's not that I haven't answered you. It's that I'm not ready yet to do what I'm going to do. It doesn't fall in the right timing of my will and what I am doing in and through your life and the lives of those around you. And then he says this. So if the request is wrong, God says no. If the timing is, if the request is wrong, God says no. If the timing is wrong, God says no. If you are wrong, God says grow. And the problem is sometimes we think we know what God should do and we're wrong. That person needs to change when the Lord's saying, excuse me, you're the one that needs to change. You're the one that needs to grow here and trust in me. It's not that I'm not answering your prayer. It's the fact you are the one that needs the prayer. You need to grow. And then it says this, but if the request is right, if the timing is right, and if you are right, God says go, which means God says yes, and we see his prayers answered. And so the question we have to ask ourselves is this, if prayer isn't working, if God isn't answering our prayers, and that's our excuse for why we're not praying, we have to ask ourselves, are we making the right requests? Is our timing right? Are we right? And you see, the only way we're going to know that, the only way we're going to know the answer to these questions is through prayer. It's through seeking him, devoting ourselves to him. Prayer is our connection to God. And the more we pray, the more we devote ourselves to prayer, the better we are going to know him. And the better we're going to know him, the more we'll understand his heart. The more we'll understand his timing, and the more we'll understand his will. Right? In the Lord's Prayer, it said, your kingdom come, your will be done. Not Darren's will. Your will. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If we can learn to grow in our relationship with the Lord and learn to start praying his will versus our will, then I can guarantee you your prayers are going to start working. I can guarantee you that you will see answers, life-changing, mountain-moving kind of answers, because that's the kind of God that we serve. When we're faithful to walk in his will instead of ours. That's why Paul desires that we devote ourselves to prayer. Because it's about us growing in our relationship with the Lord. It's about his will being carried in and out through us, through our lives. Can you imagine the impact that Dallas Foursquare Church would have on this community if we all y'all, however you want to say it, if we all became people devoted to prayer? Can you imagine the impact that our little church could have on this community if we devoted ourselves to prayer? I believe this is the reason the early church exploded like it did. When you look in Acts and you see how the early church exploded, I believe it's because they were devoted to prayer.
They were devoted to spending time with the Lord and seeking Him and following Him and allowing His will to be done. It wasn't just to pray for themselves. It was for the kingdom, for His kingdom to be extended. In Colossians 4, Paul tells us to devote ourselves to prayer. But then he says this, but pray for us too, that God may open a door for the message. You see, as the pastor of this church, I pray regularly for this church. I pray regularly for you. Praying that God will move in your life. God will move in the heart of this church. But here's the thing, I hope I'm not the only one. I hope that you too are praying. Praying for yourselves, praying for this church, praying for the church, not even just the Church of Dallas, but the church. And when it comes to our church, I hope you're praying that we would be the church God has called us to be in this community. There's a lot of churches in this community, but it's because God has a plan for each of us and how He wants to use us, and be praying that God uses us in that way, that we fulfill our calling, that we are a church that would love God, that would love people, and that would see His kingdom extended. If we devote ourselves to prayer, I believe we're going to see these things happen in ways we never thought or imagined. Sound good? It does to me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love for us, Lord Jesus. The fact that You want to communicate with us, that You want relationship with us. That's what prayer is. That's what prayer does, Lord. It enables us to grow in our relationship with You. It's walking and talking with our Lord and Savior, the God of this universe. And there's so many things and so many excuses that we can make for not being with You, not spending time in prayer with You, Lord. And I pray that, Lord, today You would challenge us not to let excuses keep us from being devoted to prayer, to praying in the way that You have called us to pray, Lord. But we cannot change the past, but we can change the future. We can change from this day forward, and I pray that You will help us, Lord, to be people of prayer, people who seek You, who seek, Lord, not our will, but Your will in our lives, in this church, throughout this community, throughout the world, Lord Jesus. Teach us how to be people of prayer. Teach us how to be devoted to You. Lord, I pray that this is something that we would try at home, Lord. That we would do at home. That we would do everywhere, Lord. Lord, we thank You for these things. We just pray them and trust them to You. In Jesus' name, amen.